I think it was D.L. Moody that said, the world has yet to see what God can do with an individual totally surrendered to himself. Another preacher, may have been Moody, said, if you want to see God do a reviving work, you want to see God bring revival, draw a circle, get in that circle and say, Lord, would you revive everything in the circle? It's about our surrender to the Lord. God wants to do great things. The issue is sometimes we aren't surrendered to what he wants to do through us. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter number 20. The Gospel of John, chapter number 20, we're going to continue our study. It's a study we entitled, He Must Increase, on this great gospel. Last week we looked at the message entitled, Secret Believers. We challenged us not to be a secret believer. And we looked at Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. And though they were secret believers, eventually they made the decision that they're going to take the body of Jesus and honor it. In John chapter 20, Mary Magdalene and several other women decide to go to the tomb early to show their love for the Lord Jesus to complete burial preparations. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus were forced by circumstances to prepare the body hastily, and they wanted to finish the task. Now, it's interesting when you look at them coming to the tomb. I wonder what their plan was to open the tomb. I mean, they had put a big stone there. They had sealed that thing. We don't know what their plan was, and maybe they had a plan, I don't know, but the plan was to finish preparations. Mary Magdalene was a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Her name, Magdalene, likely came from a town where she came from, Magdala, which was near the Sea of Galilee. We assume, obviously, that she lived there. She was one of several women who traveled with Jesus and the disciples to provide material support. We first hear of her in Luke chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. I know you're in John 20. I'll get there in just a minute. The Bible says, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. And Jesus did a work in her life, didn't he? And here she is able to travel with him and the disciples. She's an eyewitness of Jesus' execution, and she was really among the first of women to see him after his resurrection. But her resurrection here experience at first didn't start out too well. And I want us to begin reading, follow along as we get to John, as we start in verse number 1 of John 20. Follow along with me. The Bible says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Now she sees the stone taken away, and it really bothers her. And we'll see why in a minute. And so she runs back and she comes to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, John, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. All right, so get the picture here. Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb here, and she sees the stone rolled away, and she says, I got to go back and get Peter. So she runs back to Peter, and she says to Peter, Peter and John may have been living together, they took the Lord's body. Well, the Bible says Peter and John ran. It seems to indicate that Peter took off first. John followed him, but John was probably a little faster than Peter. John gets to the tomb there, and he looks inside. All right, Mary is not there with them. She's coming back to the tomb, and we'll see the significance of that in just a minute. In verse number 5, the Bible says, and he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet he went not in. There are three words for seeing that we see in a few of these verses. The first one is found in verse 5. It means to glance or to look in. So John beat Peter there. John did not go in. John stood outside and looked in. The Bible says, then Peter shows up. Verse number 6. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie. This is a word for seeing. That means to look carefully or to observe. So Peter, we love Peter, don't we? Peter bolts right past John and hauls himself right into the tomb, and he takes a real careful look. He investigates the situation very carefully. Verse number 7, the Bible says, "And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself." Verse 8, "Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulcher." They are both there now. They're both in the sepulcher. And the Bible says, "And he saw and believed." This word here is a word that means to perceive with intelligent comprehension. Something took place in John and Peter when they went in and they saw the clothes as they were. They recognized, hey, Jesus must have risen. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Now, the disciples go in, they make a decision, Peter and John, wow, the Bible says they believe. All right, Jesus said he was going to rise, and he did. And they leave. Now they leave the tomb, they go back home, and poor Mary Magdalene, she comes back up on the scene. Now Mary Magdalene has a little bit of a different picture going on here, and we see this as we look at the text. Mary has a little bit of a different picture because she's kind of ignorant of what really happened. She has a perception that they took the body of Jesus. And I want to spend a few minutes this morning, and I want to look at the importance of not being ignorant. I want to look at the importance of knowing and living by truth. Do you know, many of us, ever since, if you grew up in church, you heard the little song, "Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow," right? Don't read your Bible, don't pray, or neglect to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. For many of us that have been in church our whole life, we understand that we are supposed to read our Bible. We are supposed to know the truth of the Word of God. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." But sad to say, the average Jehovah Witness that gets a week-long crash course can talk circles around independent Baptist individuals that have been saved for years and years and years. We have Bible. We have multiple copies of the Word of God. Yet, how much of the Word of God do we really hide in our heart? How much of the truth do we know and do we live by? The Bible says in John 8, we know, if you know the truth, Jesus said, the truth does what? The truth makes us free. But can we talk about the counter just for a minute? If I don't know the truth, then I'm going to be bound. And there are a lot of Christians, yes, they know they're on their way to heaven. If you ask them, they say, "I know I'm on my way to heaven," but they are bound inside. There's turmoil. Their struggle with fear and worry and anxiety, especially in recent days with all that's going on in the world in which we live. And the truth, Jesus said, is what makes free. We live in a free country. We're able to own multiple copies of the truth. But if the truth doesn't go from the Bible to our brains, to our hearts, to change our lives, it's not going to make that much of a difference to us. Often Christians respond just as unsaved people, though we have hope and we know Jesus is coming again. And yet the reason for that is because we are not allowing the truth to do its work in our lives. Now, Mary is ignorant of what happened. She loves the Lord. We appreciate her motive. We appreciate her heart for the Lord, but she's not really aware of what happened. And based on that, we look at her life and we see a few things. Number one, I want you to see this. Her ignorance affected her thinking. Her ignorance affected her thinking. If you look at the scriptures and find chapter 20 and verse number 11, chapter 20 and verse 11, the Bible says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping." She's weeping. This is not the word for weeping or crying little tears. It is the word that means lamenting. She is weeping hard. And we have to ask ourselves the question, why is she weeping hard? She's weeping hard because she loved the Lord and she thought that they had taken him away. Look at verse number 2. She gets there and she gets to the sepulcher and she runs to get Simon, Peter, and John. So she gets to the tomb and she thinks something that isn't accurate. She thinks something that isn't true, and that thinking affects her emotions. Therefore, she runs to Peter and John. Peter and John come. Apparently, they don't pass on the way back. Peter and John go back home. She gets there, and she's by herself at the tomb, and she's weeping. She's upset. When we think about this, we have to just stop and think about how often do we let the challenges of life cause us to think things that are not true. You ever have somebody, and here they are in life, and they see how things are going, and they say, I thought the good guys were supposed to win. It looks like the bad guys are winning. We had a township activity yesterday in the township there, and I went up primarily just to talk to the police officers and try to interact with the police officers here in the Euclid Township. And I was able to talk to the captain, and that was good. And able to talk to a couple other guys. And one of the guys I was talking to said this, man, these are crazy days. These are crazy days. He said, good seems to be bad, and bad seems to be good. And people look at the circumstances about what's going on, and they think, wow, I thought God was in control. I thought, God, by the way, God is in control. And God, by the way, let me say this. Just because things are accepted in society doesn't mean they're accepted with God. We live in a society that is kind of crazy. We live in a society that thinks that, hey, you can choose whatever gender you want to be. I'm for people having free choice, but I'm going to tell you this. That's not what the Bible teaches. Let me ask you this. If somebody asked you, what does the Bible teach? Do you know what the Bible teaches? You see, when we think about it, just because society says it's okay for men to marry men doesn't mean that that's okay. Or women to marry women, and the society is trying to inundate us. By the way, I think it's important in the society we live in that you check facts. The media is doing what they can to control people. I'm telling you this, just because the media says it, just because the government says it, doesn't mean that it's necessarily right or the right thing to do. And we ought to make educated decisions. I'm for free choice. You can do whatever you want, whatever you decide to do. But I just say this, you got to make sure that you research what you're doing. Make sure you do your research on the vaccine. Make sure you do your research on what the government is pushing and what the media is saying. It's interesting to me that they're trying to push something on everybody in the world. Huh. When you look at the pages of the Word of God, when we see what the Word of God says, by the way, you say things are getting worse. They are getting worse. And you know what? We can choose to get upset and respond as Mary, oh no, what in the world happened? Or we can get into the Word of God and we can look at what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. You see, it is important for us to know truth. By the way, it's important for us to know truth as it applies to what's happening in our world today. You can get rattled. It's easy to get rattled. You think about what's happening in Afghanistan. And people say, man, there's Christian people being killed in Afghanistan. And there are preachers. They know where all the preachers are, and they told them that, and they said, we're coming after you. Boy, if you're not grounded in the truth of the Word of God and recognize that somehow God in His love and in His... By the way, anyone that they kill, they send to heaven, where the streets of gold are, the perfect police, and you know what I'm saying? And by the way, God can make it, as we've seen in history, God can make it that somebody that's put on a post and burned to death not feel the pain. God can make that. And we got to recognize that that can rattle us. That can cause people to say here in America, well, it's coming here to America. Maybe I won't be a witness. Maybe I won't, we talked about this last week, I'll go hide in the closet. You know what? We don't have to be rattled if we understand truth. In Acts chapter number 12, every time I read the story, I'm put under conviction. There's a little phrase we find in verse number 6 of Acts 12. If you're familiar with Acts, Acts chapter number 12, Herod decides to kill James. James is martyred for serving the Lord. They think, hey, this is good. The people like this, and we're going to take Peter too. So they take Peter, and they put Peter in prison. The church decides, hey, we better get on our knees, and we better pray for Peter. Do you know what Peter is doing? On death row, knowing that the next day he's going to be killed, while the church is praying. Do you know what Peter's doing? He's sleeping. He's sawing logs. He's out cold. You say, how do I know he's out cold? Because when the angel came in, the angel had to shake him. Peter, wake up. I mean, he's out cold. Let me ask you this question. I ask myself this question. Why it puts me under conviction? If I knew tomorrow was my time, if I knew I was going to be beheaded tomorrow for serving the Lord, I hope I'd say, go ahead and behead me. But I'm not sure I would sleep all that much the night before. Maybe Peter wasn't type A. I think he kind of was a little type A, if you want to be honest with you. He's sound asleep. Why? Because his belief system was rooted in truth. He wasn't ignorant. He understood truth, and that truth is what made him free. We get worked up regularly because we either don't know the truth or we don't believe the truth. Think about the story in John 11. Lazarus is sick. Jesus delays his coming. Martha and Mary, there they are. Oh, where's Jesus? Anybody see him? You're out there, I don't see Jesus. Where's Jesus? Oh, what? Lazarus died? I can't believe he died. If Jesus would have been here, Jesus would have healed him. Jesus shows up, and they're not too happy. Mary, she's over there in the house. She didn't even come out. Martha comes out and sees Jesus. Lord, if you had been here, Lazarus hadn't died. Do you know what? They're living in light of something they don't know. Jesus knows what he's going to do. And Martha comes out, and her response is the same. Oh, no. This Jesus, if he had been here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus shows up, and Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he raises Lazarus from the dead, and he teaches the world about himself. And he teaches Martha and Mary. You see, it is so important for us now, it's always been important for us, that we get beyond, oh, I don't know if I'm reading my Bible. You ask the average Christian, let me ask you this, you don't need to answer me. Did you read your Bible this week every day? Did you read your Bible this week every day? You say, well, I found a minute or two or three. That's fine. I think it's important that you spend something in the Word of God. But you know what? We live in a day and age now. It's getting worse, and it's going to get worse. And it is vital for God's people to know the truth of the Word of God and what God says. It's going to get worse, but God's on the throne. And Jesus is coming again. And do you know what? As we look at these circumstances, we can look at them in one of two ways. We can think, okay, this is tough. I don't know. I'm afraid. I'm worried. Or we can look at the circumstances this way. Hey, this is cool. Amazon, they're paying for stuff with the palm of their hand. Pretty soon they're going to, you know, put chips in people. I mean, you know where it's going. We say, hey, this is cool. That's one more step toward Jesus coming again. That's one more step to us getting out of here. You see, it is important that we not be ignorant. Ignorance affects our thinking. Number two, her ignorance affected her speech. Ignorance affects our speaking. I want you to look at verse number 2 of our text, John 20 and verse 2. Then she, Mary Magdalene, runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciples, and she says what to them? They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. Look at verse number 13. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord Look at verse 15. Jesus asks her, "Why weepest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if ye have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him." You think concerning her speech. She goes here, and she sees the tomb rolled away. She doesn't recognize he rose. They took him. And what does she do? She goes to Peter and John. Guess what? They took Jesus. They took his body. She sees him in the garden. They took his body. She says to Jesus, they took his body. Do you see how her ignorance affected her speech? Do you see how not knowing the reality that Jesus rose again caused her to spread stuff that wasn't true? This is important because if we don't know the truth and we don't live by the truth, we will spread a lot of things that aren't true. Do you know when we respond in a non-biblical way, we communicate to others the wrong things about God? You see, for instance, you're at home and the kids are around and somebody calls and you get one of those calls and you think, I can't believe this. This isn't right. And you hang the phone up and you go, I just can't believe this. This always happens to me. Why can't I get a better shake in life? Why can't God answer my prayers? Why can't God do something for me? Why do I always have to go through this? Why does God always trying to do something to me? Do you know what you communicate to every one of those kids that are listening? You communicate the wrong thing about God. You see, God is always working together things for our good and His glory. And it's important for us that we talk about the right things. By the way, why do we talk so much about sports, so much about all the news and the vaccine and what's going on here and there, and we don't talk more about Jesus? The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, it's funny, you can talk to somebody, have a conversation with them, and then you ask them this, whatever, politics or whatever. And then you say, hey, what's God doing in your life? A lot of stuff. You know what I'm saying? We got the lingo down. Oh, yeah, a lot of stuff. Doing a lot of stuff. Like what? Where'd you read in your Bible this morning? Let me ask you this question. If I asked you today, hey, where'd you read in your Bible this morning? Can you remember? In the New Testament. It's a New Testament. Yeah, the New Testament. Thanks, that changed my life that you're reading in the New Testament. I really needed that. That's going to keep me going for weeks. We need to get off our phones and into the Bible. We need to be off our phones and what's going on in social media a lot less. Get off that stuff. By the way, all it's going to do is incite fear. Let me give you another thought here. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 that the devil walks about as a roaring lion. Do you know a lion doesn't necessarily roar before it's about to kill its prey? It sneaks around before it kills its prey. You see, why does a lion roar? Get this, a lion roars to intimidate. And do you know what the devil wants to try to do to you as God's people? Intimidate you. He wants to try to put fear in you so that you'll say, hey, I'm not going to take a stand, or maybe God won't take care of me. Intimidation. I'll tell you, you want to be intimidated. Get off this stuff and get into the Word of God. And don't tell me, I'm going to just be straightforward, don't tell me you don't have time to spend in the Word of God. I don't want to hear that. We make time for that which is really important to us. We need to get into the Word of God and know the Word of God. They tried to intimidate Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, didn't they? Oh, we're going to bow down. What's up with you boys? You didn't bow down? Man, I'm gonna give you another chance. Turn that furnace up real hot. See how you like that. And he loses his soldiers, doesn't he? And you know what, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't know whether God was going to deliver or not deliver. But do you know what? Their belief system, the God that they served, they were not going to be intimidated by anybody. Our God is able to deliver us, but if not, we are not bowing down. Do you know what? We need people in America now to say, hey, I'm not bowing down. Hey, I understand the truth of the Word of God, and I'm standing on the promises of God, and it doesn't matter what happens. I'm standing on truth, and I'm not going to be intimidated by the devil. Our speech is affected by our belief system, and we need to be about giving people the right opinion of God by our speech. That won't happen unless we're most immersed in the truth. Hey, we're never going to understand everything, but God's got it all under control. Amen. And sometimes we just have to say to people, hey, I don't understand it. I don't understand it, but God's good. Job had no clue all that was going on in his life, and he lost it all. And he said this, though he slay me, I don't know what else is going to happen. I don't know what's happening. I don't understand it all. But though he slay me, yet will I trust him. His relationship was rooted in truth about God. Number three, I want you to see this as we look at our story and in conclusion with Mary Magdalene here. I want you to see that not only does ignorance affect our thinking and our speech, but her ignorance affected her action. You see, what was she doing? Well, verse number two, she says, they've taken away the Lord, and we know not where they have laid him. She's now gone from preparing his body to trying to find his body. Chapter 20, she says the same thing. She says the latter part of that verse, and I know not where they have laid him. Verse 15, she says this to Jesus, thinking that he's a gardener. She says, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. She is spending her time now looking for the body of Jesus, and Jesus rose. He wasn't there. We could say, in a nice way, though we do, again, appreciate her heart, but we could say she's kind of wasting her time looking for the body of Jesus. The gardener, she says, maybe you took him. Maybe you know where he is. Can you tell me where it is? Because that's what I want to do. I want to go find the body of Jesus. I thought of this when I read this. I thought of how many people waste time pursuing interests or whatever it may be because they're ignorant of the fact that Jesus saves. There's a lot of people doing a lot of things looking for some kind of fulfillment, some kind of satisfaction in life, and it's found in Jesus, the truth. You see, why are they wasting their time? Because they don't know about Jesus. Why are they doing what they're doing, trying to fulfill the lusts of the flesh, because they don't know about Jesus? And by the way, it's our responsibility to communicate Jesus. By the way, let me say this as a Christian. You know, the same principle is true. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. There are a lot of people, you've trusted Christ as Savior. They know they're on their way to heaven, but they're looking for something in this world to fulfill a need. They're looking for something in this world to satisfy. Maybe it's in a relationship. Oh, if I could just have a boyfriend. If I could just have a girlfriend. You better have a lot of money if you have a girlfriend. If I can just get married. If I can just go to wherever, you know, then somehow it's, you know. And if I can just buy this. You know, ladies, by the way, why is it? I wonder this. I guess women like shopping more. Maybe it's connected to the emotions, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when I go to the store, I was just somewhere recently, and I said, can you tell me where the men's department is? You walk in, it's just all ladies, you know, ladies' dresses or whatever, ladies' coats, ladies, I don't know. And they go, oh, yeah, it's up on the third floor in the far back corner over there on the right-hand side. It's like, man, you got to work to find the men's clothes in some of these stores. But you know what? Those things don't satisfy us. They don't. And unless I get into this book and recognize what is my purpose in life, what is really going to satisfy me in life. If I am ignorant of truth, I'm going to find myself wasting a lot of time. By the way, the devil will try to get us to waste time. The devil will try to keep us out of church, keep us from prayer meeting, keep us from witnessing, because he knows that those are things that are going to make an eternal difference. Well, let's look at the end of the story. It's kind of cool, right? So verse 15, Jesus kind of exposes, actually verse 16, Jesus says unto her, Mary. Just one word, Mary. She turns herself around and saith unto him, Rabboni. Rabboni. This is a term that means great honor and supreme reverence. And Jesus saith unto her, hey, touch me not, or really the construction is stop clinging to me. For I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I have ascended to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. Let me give you a couple thoughts here. He says, hey, stop clinging to me. A couple reasons why that could be. Number one, her clinging was a symbol that she did not want him to ever leave her again. She's holding on to him to secure his presence permanently. Obviously, Jesus would be on earth for 40 days and she would see him again. I think another reason why Jesus said this is because Jesus had a job for her to do, and that was to go and tell the other disciples. Another interesting thought is what Jesus says here. It's kind of an encouragement. Jesus kind of changes how he refers to his disciples. Remember, they were friends in the past, to use the term friends. Look at what he says this. It's like something changes. They now become brethren. He says, I am not ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren. My brethren, he calls them brethren. And says to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father. And to my God and your God. There was a relationship that changed because Jesus died on the cross and Jesus rose again. And now he's our Father. And he is our brethren. And boy, Mary Magdalene's changed now. Look at verse number 19. After Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he spoken these things unto her. Now she knows the truth. And what comes out of her mouth is truth. And she goes to the disciples. It's amazing to me that Jesus cast demons out of her, and here she is the first to get to see him and to communicate him to the disciples. It is so important that we know this book. The Bible says this, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. God gave you this book. In this book, we have everything we need to handle the challenges that we will face in the future. We need to get into it and know it and not be ignorant of what God has given us. I'll tell you this, this will help you a whole lot. It really will. May God help us to know the truth. And may the truth make us free. Lord, we love you today.